Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey,
how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. Just been really good. Sorry I haven't been here. Yes. Oh, I forgot, but I will be there next week. Right now. There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. The things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! Who is this? Why is he in my house?
Who are you, man? Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Good morning, Great God family. Y'all might not like what I got to say this morning. Here's a spoiler alert. You might want to turn off of this right away. Good morning. God bless everybody, but I got some things I got to say. This country has lost its moral compass, if it had one to begin with. When a black guy is choked to death by the police and there are no repercussions, and a white kid kills four, paralyzes one, and claims he's suffering from affluenza, which is too much money. He got too much money, so he don't know right from wrong, and he gets probation, something is wrong. When an unarmed black kid is shot by the police 17 times, 16 times while he's lying on the ground and is covered up for a year, and a white kid walks into a black church, sits in worship for an hour, and then kills 9 people and is taking a Burger King for a burger, and we blame it all on the Confederate flag, and nobody talks about it anymore, yet Bill Cosby's name is in the news every 8 seconds. Something is very, very wrong. When black people are killing each other nationwide, especially in my town of Chicago, and our black president, who's also from Chicago, that I still love, doesn't say or do a goddamn thing about it, yet speaks on every world atrocity, something is very wrong. And I love this president, don't get me wrong. He ain't perfect, no president is, but I would like him to do a little bit more for black people. Hell, I wrote a book on him. Ever since he's been in office, it's been about 8 years, almost 8 years, I've wanted to meet this president. After saying this, I probably won't have a chance, but some things you just got to say. He needs to be speaking about what's going on in Chicago. He needs to be saying something about that. When the top running presidential campaign is a racist, hate-mongering, ignorant, separatist, billionaire bastard, and no one complains, and when police routinely kill people of color with no justice in sight, and in the richest country in the world, we boast more poverty than the average third world country, something is very, very wrong. Why do some get a pass while some of us got to just die and shut up about it? All lives matter. Let's be clear on that. But black lives are treated as though they do not. This is why we have the need for the slogan Black Lives Matter. And the mere utterance of that term, if that means that we're being racist, if that's what you feel, then you're not just mistaken. You're a little silly. Okay, complaining about being treated less than human is offensive when indeed it's true that something is tragically, tragically wrong with this country and with this picture. The racism in this country is out of control. The tolerance for wrongdoing for people who can't defend themselves is shameful. And our biggest crime, our insult to God, is our silence. I'm a humanitarian, a lover of the world, and a God man. And I'm telling you, we need to check our moral compass. God is still the king of the universe and the ruler of my heart. I just hope that we can look a little closer at what we're doing to each other as a people on this planet and turn it around. God is still in the house, though, y'all. He's never left. He's still right here. Have a good day. And God bless.
Amen, and welcome to another episode of Unmasked with Authoress Terry E. Lyle. Woo-woo, this show is going to be off the chain tonight, but I want to thank first God for letting me be here and all my listeners from north to south, east to west, the people in Hawaii, the USA, Canada, United Kingdom, Nigeria, Africa, Cameroon, Africa, Pakistan, Peru, Argentina, and you know we're still trying to get more listeners on the thing, but tonight, man, hold your horses, because we got the phenomenal, I ain't talking about the real deal, comedian Michael Collins, who is President Barack Obama's favorite comedian. This brother has did so many things, but you know, hey, we're going to see what we can get in the 2 hours we got, but we're going to rock it, and I want to first introduce my co-host, Mark Anthony Rial. Thank you, baby, for having my back every week at Friday at 7:30. How you doing, sugar?
I'm doing great, honey. I am so happy and pleased that we finally have this wonderful comedian as our guest.
Baby, I'm so excited. I'm thinking about pulling my drawers up and throwing them against the wall. Pow! Like they do it with somebody real good. How you doing, Michael?
I am blessed and highly favored. If I was doing any better, I'd have to be twins. How y'all doing?
Oh, God.
Inviting me, man. Thank you, Terry. Thank y'all for
so
not just bringing
me on. People don't know. I've seen Michael a couple of times when we was on the cruise to Aruba and the last one to Barbados. And this brother, even when he's not on stage, he comes to the dining area. He talks to people. He is real down to earth. And what y'all don't know about Michael, I'm just going to share a little information about him. Did you know that Michael was the original host of BET Live from L.A.? He was one of the kings of Venice Beach. They even put his handprint and money grabber and his shoes in the cement in the new Venice Boardwalk because for 9 years he did that. And he's also a humanitarian. And y'all remember the show Star Search? He won $100,000 and gave half to the homeless people in the L.A. area. So this brother, he ain't just funny. He's giving out love with his pocket. So, you know, I got to appreciate that. And I'm just so thrilled and everything because the things that you do. Man, I was writing down notes. And I got the page, too. I said, my God, I'm going to need a book to say everything that you do.
Well, I sure am grateful for how well you've done your homework. Because you sure
oh,
know
I have,
about
darling.
It. I love that little piece of tape y'all played when we opened the show, too. It went really viral. I mean, I know at last count there was over 800,000 people who had heard that little speech, which was cool. I was just trying to reach the 5,000 on my Facebook page. I didn't know that it would be shared and reshared so many times. You know, we are our brother's keeper and our sister's too, you know, and we're supposed to be trying to do the right thing the best we can, and that brings about the greatest amount of joy. It's so funny because this cat named Plato wrote a long time ago about the fact that we're supposed to get to a point in our lives where we do what's right because it's right. Where we don't decide, well, if I know right from wrong, do I choose right or wrong? We're supposed to get to a point in our lives where if you know what right is, then there is no choice. You can't choose between right or wrong. You do right because it is right. And so
right. If
you live right, if you act right, right actions bring about right results. That's just a general statement, not to say that I'm some right person who does everything correct, but I do try to travel life with the ideal that every man really is my brother, every woman is my sister, and I'm supposed to be loving everybody, and the love starts at home with yourself, and it goes outward. And that I try really hard to stay away from anything that really is racist, because I have too many friends and relatives that aren't black that I love for me to take a position that loving myself means I get to hate you. So I don't roll like that. You know, for me, it's God first. It's about positivity. It's about life. It's about making our world a better place and making our community better places and safer places to live in. So that's how I roll. And in between all that, I'm telling some jokes.
Oh,
we like the way you roll.
Thank you.
We like the way you roll. I'm sorry.
Before
go ahead.
You get to tell some jokes, darling, I just want to say for the people out there who got children and they have seen that movie, The Princess and the Frog, you know, Michael, he was the cook, okay? That was the voice you heard. You know, Michael do so many things from voiceover to acting to entertaining to motivational speaking, you know, and recently he was on Blackish as the preacher. So, you know, if y'all know somebody, you know, who's looking for a funny man who can play a serious role, Michael Collins is the one. Inbox him on Facebook or whatever, or go to Comic King, you know, at AOL.com. Tell the brother what you need, you know, and he'll definitely be there. So anyway, Michael, it's all about you, darling. Do what you do.
Well, let me get those addresses clear to us. It's Comic King 123 at AOL.com. If somebody wants to email me, and my Facebook is full. But you can always inbox me and say, hey, I want to contact you, at which point I'll come into your inbox and ask you to friend me. And if you friend me, then you can contact me through Facebook. But most people can reach me by going to the Comic King 123. I also have an awesome webpage called The Real Michael Collier. And, folks, Collier is spelled Collyar. So you can go to The Real MichaelCollier.com, or you can go to shop Michael Collier in case you want to buy some of my fabulous merchandise, because I'm selling things, y'all. I got some things to sell, you know. So just a couple of the ways to reach me. Of course, I'm on Twitter under the name Michael Collier. I'm on Instagram at Michael_Collier. So there's many ways of reaching me. Anybody who don't reach me, they're not trying to reach me, because I am not hiding. I'm right out there in front.
Well, you know, Michael, I tried to reach you on Facebook, and they said you was full. You couldn't accept no more friends. That like, kind of hurt my feelings.
That's why I just said what y'all do is go and inbox me, and then I'll come into your inbox and ask you to friend me. And that way you still have access to the page.
Okay, sounds like a plan. I can do that. Yeah.
Girl, your feelings don't have to be hurt. I had thousands of friends before I met you.
All right, then. We're going to have thousands more.
Hey, Michael, I'm way ahead of you. I already inboxed you, so I'm doing it the right way.
That's right. I'm loving it. Well, I am so honored you guys invited me on. I really appreciate it. There's so much wonderful stuff going on in my life, and I certainly that some of it is noteworthy, you know, worth us talking about. First of all, you know, I have a new music video out. I would like to draw everyone's attention to and try to get you to listen to that thing and write me back. Let me know what you think about it. It is with George Clinton.
Ice Cube, and Kendrick Lamar. It's the four of us, and they beam me up in a spaceship. It's called Ain't That Funkin' Kinda Hard on You. Ain't That Funkin' Kinda Hard on You. It's the first music video that George Clinton has put out in 20 years, and it is off the chain. You can pull it up on Vevo. You can pull it up on – matter of fact, you just go on YouTube and put in George Clinton, Ain't That Funkin' Kinda Hard on You. It'll pop up. And they beam me up in a spaceship. I mean, it is really amazing.
Sounds funny.
Where did the spaceship take you, Michael?
To an intergalactic party where Ice Cube is rapping.
Well, I know who they are, but that must have been phenomenal to go with Parliament's George Clinton somewhere.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's the funk master. So me and George fly over and get the Ice Cube, and then after the party, we take off to Points Unknown. I want them to swing back to Chicago and go back to my mama's house, but, you know, they was in a hurry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
We've got to see that.
It is really, I'm telling you, y'all going to love it. It's revolutionary. It's awesome. It's funky. You know, and what's so genius about it, and I do think it's genius, Video God is the name of the director. And Video Guy put this thing together with Kendrick Lamar, who's the hottest thing in rap right now. That guy
is
amazing. Then you've got George Clinton, who is definitely old school and funkalicious.
Legendary.
That's right. And then you got Ice Cube, who's like a blend of both of them, and he's got the young, the old, he's doing the film, he's doing the music, he's all of that. Then you got me to tie it all in. Oh, and the theme is fly, and the costumes are off the chain, and the music is banging. So you want to check that out. Ain't That Funkin' Kinda Hard on You. So that's
well,
just
you know,
one,
Michael,
one
I got
thing.
A question. I know back in 2012 you had your passion project. A funny thing happened on the way to the White House. I knocked on the door and a black man answered. Did that really happen?
Yeah, his name is President Barack Obama. Go knock on the door.
Bad, so that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, go knock on the door and you'll see. That's my book, and we're moving copies, and I expect him to get another copy of it in the next day or so, because we just got a copy to Oprah Winfrey, and I know she's a big fan of his. And I just got a copy to some other folks who have taken books to him, children's books, who say they can get it right to him. So I just sent two more copies his way, because nothing would be better for me than for President Barack Obama to hold that book up and tell people he likes it. The book is called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the White House. I knocked on the door and a brother answered, and it celebrates us having our first black president. And not just first black president, but our first awesome president. We haven't had a president this fly in 40 years. I mean, he's off the chain. You know, and I'll tell you this. If Bush had killed Osama bin Laden, you know, if Bush had saved General Motors, if he had created a health care bill that our mamas and our grandmamas could afford, and if he ended that illegal war he started in Iraq to cover his own bitch ass because of his failures with 9/11, his face would be on Mount Rushmore right now. President Obama has done that and so much more, and it's not enough. He can cure AIDS and cancer today, and they'll say that nigga started in the first place. But Barack don't mind. He just keeps on being President Barack Obama. He keeps on bringing act and skill to our community and character to our country, and he does it without getting mad about it. He don't ball his fists up. His pants ain't hanging off his behind. They can't piss him off. They've done everything but talk about his mama. He is awesome. And so this book, which looks like it's a children's book because it's got cartoons, it's really an everybody book. It's just a book that reminds people that, first of all, nothing's impossible. Because it should have been impossible for a brother to become president of the United States. And he didn't just do it once. He did it twice. And both times with elegance and style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed.
So yeah, I want everybody to get this book, too, because the book only $10. I don't even need a whole $10. I could take 2 5s or 5 of 5 singles. And the book is great for everybody. It's an adult book. It's a children's book. And, you know, I have mentioned I have a store on the Internet called Shop Michael Collier. And you can go to shopmichaelcollier.com and order it right over the internet. But I'm telling you, when he get out of office, I'm jacking that price up. It's going to be a collector's item.
I know. Let me ask you this. How can I get a book, I'll pay for it, but I want your autograph? If I send it to you somewhere like where you just said, I'll just get a random book. How can I get you the money and get my copy autographed?
Well, folks who want to do that will just go to my the email. You just go to comicking123@aol.com. Just drop me a note with your information and say, hey, I want one book or two or 20 or 100. You know, because there's a dentist in Memphis, Tennessee. This brother has bought 250 books. Because
wow.
He buys them 100 at a time. He bought 100, then another 100, and then 50. And he gives them to each of the children whose teeth he does. And he asks them to go and write a 3-page essay on the book. And so on my page, I have a Facebook page that is not filled that you can go to. It's called Michael Collier's A Funny Thing Happened. If you go on my Facebook page, you'll see pictures of these children holding up the book and holding up their essay. So this business is getting these children to learn about their own history, to read books, to write an essay, all based on this little $10 book. And he buys 50 to 100 each time, and he just gives them to the kids. So I know people buy them and buy 10 at a time. They give them to all their coworkers. I mean, I'm telling you, it's an awesome book. I'm not saying it just because I created the book, you know, and I got a couple of dollars. So I'm going to be all right if y'all don't buy one. I'm just saying it is off the chain.
I think it's a great idea, Michael. Great idea from that dentist.
Oh, it's a great idea, man. Dr. Dove, Dr. Joseph Dove in Memphis, Tennessee. And wait a minute, Terry, I met Dr. Joseph Dove on the same cruise that I met you. I met him on that cruise, and, you know, when I talk about this book, when I'm on stage, I do a 20-minute, 30-minute routine about my president, how fabulous he is. Like, you know, women love him. I know women love him because the other night I come home, my wife laying in bed, butt naked, watching President Obama give a speech,
right,
and
man.
I said, what are you talking about? She said, I don't know. I turned the sound down. So I'll do 20 or 30-minute routine about this when I perform, and then I hold up the book. So when I did that on the cruise ship, not only did I sell out all the books, that gentleman came up to me and said, well, Mr. Collier, is there a way I can get 50 books or 100 books? And can I get a discount? I'm like, you get 100 books, I'm definitely going to knock off something off that price. Yeah, you're going to get a discount. And I didn't know why he wanted 100 books until he got them and then started passing them out at his dentist's office. I was blown away, and actually I'd have been blown away enough if he just got 100 books. But then he turned around and got another 100. Then he turned around and got another 50, you know. And that's what we need to do because this president deserves being celebrated. What he's done, his accomplishments. And as a black man, let me tell you something. You don't get to see a black family on TV. Now, more and more you start to get comedic families on TV. But in general, when you see black people on TV, they playing basketball, they playing sports, they're rapping, or they going to jail. You don't get a chance to see a magnificent family like this, except the Huxtables, and that was some make-believe shit. But now you're looking at a man who both him and his wife really graduated from the top university. You know, I mean, this guy, they're the top of their game. Their children are wonderful. They can't find nothing bad about them. They've turned over every rock. This is great for everybody to see. For you to see this example every single day is awesome. And we should be supporting that. We should be lifting that up. We should be telling our kids, look what he did. You can do anything. And you don't have to be black. You can be anybody who's got a struggle and say, wait a minute, let's look at what President Obama did. Walked through a field that was impossible and did it with elegance and excellence and style and character and humor. And he's funny, you know. And I don't know what else to say. He's a man, 100 grand.
The White House lawn.
That's right. Hey, wait a minute. Michelle grew collard greens at the White House. Michelle went on an Ellen show and did push-ups. Michelle went to England and hugged the queen. You ain't even supposed to touch the queen. Michelle is gangster.
I heard that. Right,
so when you got all that going for you, if you're black or if you just care about fairness, you should be supporting this man. And so that's what I'm doing. And I tell you what, y'all mess around and get Trump as president, y'all going to beg President Obama to come back. I guarantee.
I know that's right. But you know, some of y'all, we have to take a small break. And if you want to talk to Michael, dial 347-945-6003. Or you can just sit in the cut and just listen, because I see my switchboard is lit up. But you got to hit the one key, let me know your hand is up, or you can just listen. But we'll be right back with Michael. And when we come back, we're going to have some fun, because we're going to let him do his thing. Stand by.
Okay.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely pays the bills we made. Old life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulders, and in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Two days later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I've tried. Strong rain came and washed all the crops away. And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And you know, Mama knew what I was going through, cause every day I had to work the field, cause that's the only way we got our meals. See, I was the oldest of the family, and everybody else depended on me. Every night I heard my Mama pray, Lord, give him strength to make another. To a brand new home. Lord knows, people, I shed his tears, but my daddy's voice kept me through the years, saying, Patrick, I'm dependent on your son to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Oh, I can still hear Papa's voice say, Patrick, I'm dependent on your son. I've tried to do my best.
No profanity. Now, originally, this was a pussy joke. But see, I don't do pussy jokes. I think the word pussy offends women on every level of our society. Hell, if you say pussy three times in a row, pussy, 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 that shit ain't funny no more. Now, coochie funny the motherfucker. Yeah, cause see, With coochie, you get to say the same damn thing without being all nasty. That's the coochie joke. Now, peoples, this is an old joke. You know I do old jokes because I don't think an old joke should die just because the motherfucker that wrote it did. So, this joke is old. Yeah, well, motherfucker old. He done died. He can't use the joke. Keep the motherfucking joke alive. This one's a little different. This joke is 57 years old. The man that wrote this joke ain't dead, but he's in a motherfucking coma.
you can use it till he wake up. Now remember, this is the dirtiest joke I ever. What's up, bruh? The sunglasses. How you doing, bruh? You all right? You okay? Yeah, I'm glad y'all made it, man. Shit. Y'all passed up a drive-by to be at this motherfucker, didn't you? Okay. Ooh, my ass. Y'all saw Manny walk out here with me. He big as that motherfucker. We'll do some shit if it's going to be a problem, you know. I changed the show from comedy so goddamn fast to tragedy. I'm sorry. What's your name, bruh? What's your name? Good sense of humor, right? Okay. Because I can take you. I mean, to lunch. They got a buffet out front. That's a motherfucker. You too, baby. All right, now remember, this is the dirtiest joke. They don't go no lower than this. You make it through this. Pardon me? Don't be shouting shit out. Oh, I'm sorry. I see who you are. I didn't recognize. I'm sorry. No, we used to be in jail together. What's up, bro? What's up, baby? No, really. No, he was in my jail cell one night. He came over. He said, Michael, let me be frank with you. And I said, fuck that. You was frank last night. I'm being frank tonight. You know what I'm saying? Fuck this. No, you got to mix it up. Okay, wait. Cleanest joke? No profanity. 57 years old? Help yourself. This man just got a brand new job dressing up dead bodies at the funeral home, getting them ready for burial. One day, funeral director come in. Bobby, how's everything going up? Bobby said, oh, shit, everything's all right. Ooh, except for that one lady way in the back. Yep, she got a big old shrimp stuck in a coochie. Yes, excuse me, eat that shrimp. Big old shrimp stuck. Right in the old coochie. He says, I got to go check this out. You know, so he walks up, he looks. He said, you fool. That ain't no shrimp. That's a clitoris. The guy said, clitoris? Well, damn, it sure tastes like shrimp. I didn't. I love that fucking joke.
Bobby Ness.
Bobby Ness. Oh, man, that's just so funny, man.
And that's so old, I don't even remember that joke. And people will come and always ask me, tell a shrimp joke. And I didn't even remember the shrimp joke till I heard it just now.
Wow. Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to let my co-host ask his question, and then we're going to let you do a little thing yourself, give us a little comedy straight from the horse's mouth. So, Mark, ask your question, and we're going to let Michael do what he do.
Okay. While we were talking about how underrated President Obama is, I don't know if you saw last night on the American Idol series finale, He was opening it up, and he said that he gave an opportunity for people to young people to get out and vote. He said that you can dial electronically and vote for your favorite American Idol finalist, but you need to get out and vote, and he used that opportunity to do that.
Nice.
I thought that was amazing. You know, and to get people to get out and vote.
Well,
it is amazing.
Cool as hell. You know, he will dance. He will hang out. You know, he don't forget who he is as a man, as a person, because people don't recognize that before he even went to be president. You know, he was helping out in shelters. He was doing his thing, doing the right thing. But people, you know, like Michael said, they try to slander him and try to bring some crap about him and some chick he was with, but they couldn't do it because, like he said, this is a stellar couple, a good representation of a minority in the White House. So, you know, man, I love the Obamas, you know, and I don't care who know it. And if he was going to run another term, I'd be right there. I don't care if I got to crawl because he's the man.
I do too. I agree. And you stated that you didn't know a thing about politics until Obama opened the White House door. I'm sure you have a wealth of comedy from the current political climate, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I
absolutely.
I know you
I
do.
Mean, because Trump is hilarious, you know, and people are frightened of him, but he's more comical than frightening, you know, because I really have too much faith in the American public to think they'd be stupid enough to actually
really
vote for him as president. I mean, really, because he don't have any, you know, he don't have any answers for anything.
No.
You know, if you ask him, well, how are we going to build that wall? He'd be like, you'll see. You know, yeah, we're going to make the country great again. Okay, Trump, how are we going to make it great again? You just watch. You'll see. You know, he don't have no answers at all. All he does is just make noise. He makes noise. But he gets that from a climate that's been built like that ever since this president got in office. You know what I mean? Ever since President Obama got in office, you had people saying that the media saying President Obama ain't shit. And they just said he ain't shit so much that other folks want to believe in it. And it has created a whole
Is that how it started?
Crazy.
Is that how this whole momentum has started? Because there has to be some reason these idiots are for him.
Oh, the climate was built. The climate
was right.
Built once he got in office by hatred becoming a trend. It's okay to hate out loud and to attack out loud the president. You know, because stuff that happened to him never happened to white presidents. You ain't never heard nobody call a white president a monkey. You Rush Limbaugh come out the first week of President Obama's presidency and say, I want him to fail.
Anybody I remember that.
Else would have said that. Who else? What? A black commentator on a radio station, top radio, top television station, has said to a first weekend white president came in office and he would say, I want him to fail. They run him off the station. He wouldn't have no show no more. It'd be unpatriotic. But this white double-meaning motherfucker sat on radio and said nationally, I want the president to fail? That's unpatriotic. You know, we already voted for him. He's the president. That's how it works in this country. Once you support him, you don't want him to fail. You want him to help get it right. You know what I'm saying? But all that kind of stuff can happen only because he's a black president. A senator jumps up, calls the president a liar. You ain't never heard no shit like that before. You got a black president? Get the fuck out of here, man. That climate started to build immediately. And the acceptance of that type of behavior has just grown and grown and grown. So now, after 8 years of an amazing president who, just imagine how much stuff he would have accomplished if he didn't have all these people just working to stop him. Even though they thought what he was doing was right, their job was to make sure this black man don't succeed. Imagine those people were going along with working with him, all the stuff this president could accomplish. And I tell you this anyway, go on the internet and put in three words. If you think this president ain't shit, put in three words. President Obama's accomplishment. Just put those to the internet. You'll be reading for 4 days, man. This dude has done so much stuff, but we've created that climate. So a scumbag like Trump can crawl from under his rock and put on a fancy suit and sweep his hair to one side, who is really just a beautiful version of Hitler. He can come out and say whatever he wants.
Thank you.
And all these people who are hate mongers, who really want to say all that shit anyway, they love having a spokesman for that. You know, I mean, the Mexicans want to be upset because he wants to shut the border, but I think they're being selfish because he's an equal opportunity racist. I mean, as soon as he gets to saying we want to build walls and keep the Mexicans out, they cut the microphone off. But right after that, he said, fuck them niggas too. So I'm telling you, it ain't going to be long before he goes say it, if he didn't say it. Because that dude is just wrong, and so he's funny in his wrongness. He's just ignorant, and it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
I don't believe
that
he probably tried to be president as a joke, and he was surprised that the people that got behind him, that he just stayed in. Because I can't believe that he seriously wanted to be president. I thought that was just some kind of joke at first, but I don't know. Maybe he thought
we all
he
did.
Couldn't.
I still think it's a joke. I think when it gets to the end, he's going to say, man, I just fucking with y'all. Y'all took me serious? No, he's the worst. He's the worst, man. And then if he's going to stop immigrants, that means he got to send his last two wives back. So what?
Well, Michael, I'm Hispanic. I'm Hispanic and gay, so you know he's sending me. He's deporting my ass.
Oh, you got to, man, you got to be deported and go to jail. Shit, you all the wrong thing. Oh my God.
And a Catholic. And a happy Catholic.
Oh man, you all the stuff that he hates. It's just, and really, I don't even think that Trump cares if he wins or loses. It ain't about that for him. It's about the publicity for him. It's about him making the whole world see him and look at him. And that just means he gets to go back and sell more properties and build more buildings. He don't care about them. I mean, he would make too little money as president to even want to be president. It's not logical. He ain't trying to be president. He's just making noise. You know, it's just sad that we don't have nobody out there that's serious. We don't have any really serious candidate, you know.
Well, that's why don't you run for president, Michael?
I am. I might as well. All of us should. Me and Kermit the Frog are running on the same ticket. Oh, that reminds me of a joke. What did the horny toad say? Rub it. Rub it. I think that joke's hilarious.
Hey, Michael, what did the pillow say when it fell off the bed? That's one of yours, Michael.
Well, actually, that goes to this little. I stole that from a little girl named Lil Nae Nae. She tells that joke. Wait, let me see if this one. See if this one's too blue. So, the lady goes to the doctor, and she said, "Doctor, you know you've been fucked up, don't you? You fucked up." And the doctor said, "I fucked up. What do you mean I fucked up?" She said, "You gave me the wrong medication." He said, "I gave you the wrong medication." "Yes." He said, "Well, how do you know it's the wrong medication?" She says, "Because I'm starting to grow hair on my chest." He said, "Hair on your chest? Well, how far down does it go?" She said, "All the way down to my dick." But it's funny.
Hey, Michael, I love your tagline. You know, when you talk to somebody that don't have a clue, you say,
right.
"I better get out the mustard." You better get that. Let me get it. Start over.
You better get
out the mustard and catch up. I love that.
You better get out the mustard and catch up. Y'all have studied me. I'm just surprised how much y'all know. That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is great, Mark. Thank you.
We know more about you than you do.
Wow, I see that. I'm learning things I didn't even remember. But that is so cool, man. I love my life. You know, I think comedy is healing, you know, and I think this world is in so much pain. So many people are broke and sad and upset and have low self-esteem, commit suicides and shit. You know, none of that has to be happening, man. Everything should be about joy and life. So I'm trying to make the whole world laugh.
Well, let me get back a little bit to before you got started and became a phenomenal icon, because people don't know Michael is not just in the United States. He is globally known, bless his heart. When did you start as a child to know that you had skills, or did you just fall into it?
It was interesting. I started out as an actor, you know, in high school, and acting is what my goal has been. And my whole life, I've been trying to get to Hollywood so I can be an actor and a star. In fact, I just shot a new show last night. It's on Bounce TV called Family Time. And actually, I played a homeless guy, a guy who fell on hard times. Used to be a big star in music, but I fell on hard times, so now I live at the homeless shelter. But I sell shit. You know, I come up with a brief with a big old trench coat, and when I open it up, I get all kind of shit in there I sell. And I ain't seen my daughter in 20 years, and she shows up. And my daughter's played by Shantae Moore. We just shot this last night with Rodney Perry is in it, and it's just a really, really great show. So I've always been trying to get to acting. That's what I was trying to do. But then in 1986, I've always been funny. I didn't know anybody would pay me for it. I'd always been funny. But there was this guy named, there still is this guy named Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy was the most amazing thing in entertainment, man. He had the number one TV show on called Saturday Night Live, which he was the star of, without a doubt. He had the number one concert and number one concert film going called Raw, and he was in 48 Hours. And this young brother was getting all this money, and he was doing it just telling jokes. And I was like, shit, I've been funny my whole life. I need to get with the program. So I went and got me a Red Fox album, went in my mama's basement, learned some jokes, and I started a career.
Amen, and you did fine. You know, I remember when Eddie Murphy did that Raw in that little blue leather outfit, man. And he was, you know, he's something else. I liked what he do, you know. But, you know, what I like more about you, people don't realize how much you do as a humanitarian. They just think that you're a funny man, an actor, you know. Let them know about some of the things you have done, because it's phenomenal, because a lot of people make it, and you never see the other side, the good things they have done. And you have done a lot of good things, Michael, and I got to applaud you for doing what you're doing, coming out your pocket and you putting it in other places.
But we all supposed to be doing that, though, right? I mean,
right?
That's the whole purpose of our lives. The whole purpose of us being here is service. You know, that's why God really created us, is so we can help each other out. You know, so if you have something, you're supposed to help other people. That's why I say I am my brother's keeper and my sister, too. You're supposed to help everybody out that you can help out, because if you help everybody with everything, then everybody will have everything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work. Like, it's not supposed to be a bunch of hungry people on the planet when 8% of the planet owns all the wealth. Now, the rest, everybody else scrambling to make it. It's not supposed to be that. There's enough abundance on this planet for everybody to have more than they need. But a few people hoard it. So there have to be soldiers out there like myself who are always working to push to remind humanity that we are about each other, that I am my brother's keeper and my sister too. I am supposed to feed people. Every day we should do something to help somebody. If you can't find nobody to help, then leave your damn neighborhood and go somewhere else and find somebody to help. We should be doing that every day. So I'm always helping with homeless programs. I'm always trying to feed people with the homeless. I have a program called Comics Go to Jail, where we go into the prisons once a month here in California. And I take 5 comedians with me. We do a free hour-and-a-half concert for the inmates, because we want people to know that even though their bodies are locked down, that their minds are still free. And if your mind is free, you can change everything. You can change your life. You can always change your life if you're able to change your mind. So we don't want to discard people. We don't want to throw people away. People aren't, you know, like bad machines. You should take care of people and heal people and lift them up. So I try to do little things like that. I do motivational speaking everywhere. You know, I do it at in drug courts. I do it at high schools. I do it for corporations. My motivational speaking is not as much for the money as it is for the healing of the people or the uplifting of the people that I get to talk to. You know, so I dig helping other people. I just think that's cool shit, and that's what you're supposed to do. And I do. I am also selfish about it, because by helping other people, I know that helps me. I know if I give something to you, I can't give you nothing without giving it to myself. Just like if I'm teaching you something, I'm learning it. There ain't no way you can give anything to anybody without also giving that to yourself. So it's that thing called karma, man. When you give away, you get it back all the time. If you can help everybody, yeah, you won't have no place to put all your shit if you help everybody.
You have the golden key, Michael.
Because I used to be homeless at one point when I was living in California, and they are dear to my heart as well as children. So I liked it about you. But you know something? I'm going to play one little quick song. Michael, get you something to drink, because you're going to come back and you're going to entertain me with that humor that comes out of you, and we wait to hear it. So take a little small break. Get something to drink,
right,
darling. We'll be right back.
All right. Come on back.
All right.
Like me, no matter who can treat you like.
Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And I want to tell everybody that's out there tonight, you know, it's a Friday evening, please don't be out there drinking and driving, because my family members are out there as well. You know, it's been a blessing to have out Michael Collier on the mic tonight, and we have said so much about him, but all you got to do is Google him. You will be reading and reading and reading, because this guy's phenomenal with a capital P. So I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm going to let us get back to Michael so we can let him do what he do. So, Michael, it's on you, baby.
Hey, well, I just want to tell you, I'm glad you said that. Do not drink and drive, because you could spill it. Now, listen, my first joke is the hooker joke. A hooker jumps in a taxi cab and tells the cab driver, look, take me to the house. So when they get to the house, the cab driver tells her how much it is. And she said, look, I ain't got no money. She pull up her dress. She said, you can take it out of this. And the cab driver turned around, looked at it, said, excuse me, miss, but do you have something a little smaller?
I know that joke, Michael. I love it.
Oh, you know that joke? I love that joke. Okay, the lady goes to a pharmacist. And she says, hi there, pharmacist. I'd like some arsenic, please. And the pharmacist said, lady, what you going to do with that arsenic? She said, oh, I just want to poison my husband. He said, lady, I can't give you no arsenic to poison your husband. So the lady reaches into her pocket, pulls out a pitcher, and sets it on the counter. The pharmacist picked it up and looked at it. It was a picture of his wife making love to her husband. He said, oh, damn, you didn't tell me you had a prescription. Okay. Now, let's get this one. These two guys was walking through a big old field, two hillbillies, two bamas. They walk into a field. One of them say, hey, I got to take a dump. And they all say, why the hell are you telling me? He said, because I ain't got no place to go. He said, fool, this is the forest. Why don't you go behind with a big old tree? So the guy go behind the tree. When he get through doing his business, he yell out, hey, what I'm supposed to wipe myself with? Ain't no big leaves or nothing around here. His partner said, well, just use a dollar. So a couple of minutes later, the guy come out, got shit all on his hands, all between his fingers. His partner say, damn, that's nasty. He said, oh, man, this ain't shit. You should see the two quarters and the five dimes. You did get that. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
So these two guys were sitting at a restaurant. They saw a lady choking on the food. So they run up to help the lady. They say, miss, can you talk? She said, mm-mm. So can you breathe? She said, mm-mm. So one of them stood up, lifted up her dress, and licked her on the behind. Woman was so shocked she coughed, cleared her throat right up. So two guys walking back to the table, one of them said, man, that hand lick maneuver work every time. Don't that happen?
I got to try that high lick maneuver on somebody, Michael.
Oh, I know you can't wait.
Especially being a gay man, okay?
That's right. I plugged into it. Wait a minute. I might not want to use the word plugged in. Okay.
Oh, no. Do you know any jokes about gay, Hispanic, Catholics, offhand, which I am?
Well, I know my cousin was gay, but he didn't do it on purpose. He was kind of sucked into it.
So was I at a young age, okay?
Wow. Yeah, I don't really do jokes that that people might feel like derogatorily offensive jokes, though. So I don't really do jokes like that.
This is between you and me.
Okay, well, you tell me one.
What did the gay man say when he walked into a Hispanic's barbershop?
What does he say? What does
he say? I need a butch haircut.
Oh, my God.
I need a what?
I need a butch haircut.
I need a butch haircut.
A butch haircut. Never mind.
Okay. And then I ain't no laugh when you tell that joke, though.
No.
Okay, all right. This teacher came to school one day, and she found this apple on her desk, and the apple had a T on it. So she got a class together and said, well, who gave me this apple with a T on it? The child said, I did. She said, well, baby, that's so nice. What does a T stand for? The child said it stood for teacher. She said, oh, that is sweet. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So the next day she came to school, and she found another apple on her desk, and this time it had T-I-T on it. So she got a class together and said, well, who gave me this apple with a T-I-T on it? Another child raised their hand and said, I did. She said, well, baby, what does the T-I-T stand for? The child said it stands for tops and teachers. She said, oh, baby. She kissed the child and the child sit down. So the third day when she came to school, she found another apple. But this day it had F-U-C-K on it. And she got mad. She said, what the hell is this shit? So when she got her class together, she said, who gave me this apple with F-U-C-K on it? The child said, I did. She said, well, what does this stand for? And the child said, it stands for From Us Colored Kids.
I like that joke. I'm writing that down. From Us Colored Kids. I love it. Oh, that's good. So these two ovaries were talking. So the one ovary turns to the other ovary. He said, hey, did you order some furniture? And the second ovary said, no, why? And the first ovary said, because there's a couple of nuts outside, and they're trying to shove an organ in here.
All right now, hey.
Hey, Michael, how about this one? What did the left butt cheek tell the right one?
What did the left butt cheek tell the right one?
If we stick together, we can stop this shit.
All right now. All right now.
So now, where are all these people y'all got calling in? Do I get to speak to the people?
I don't know.
They're on the support, but if they don't raise their hand to let me know to open the mic, I keep it closed because sometimes people are afraid, but they're there. I'm looking at it.
Bring them on.
Oh, that's fearful. You know, comedians are pretty terrifying beings.
Yes. And to interview one is terrifying also, especially one like you, Michael.
Not even. Y'all are doing a fantastic job. Okay, here's one. So these two sperm were swimming, right?
Okay.
Sperm swimming. So one sperm to the other, turned to the other one. He said, hey, when you think we're going to get to that uterus? And the second one said, oh, I think it's going to be a while. And the first one said, well, why do you think it's going to be a while? And the second one said, because we just passed the esophagus.
Damn.
Hey, Michael. Michael, a recent scientific study found that pregnant women who use vibrators are 90% more likely to have a child who stutters.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay, we're going to give you a break, Michael, and we're going to take a small one, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
All right.
Michael Collier. Yo, I need my love. I need more than that. Y'all must not know me. All right. Take it easy. Where did Jay? Did Jay leave? Because I brought him some lotion. Jay, come and get this lotion, dog. They sent this out for you. And you got a lot of courage to take your shirt off like that. That was a lot of courage right there, dog. I got a weight problem, but it ain't like that. And I ain't taking my shirt off. I'm proud of you. I want to introduce myself to you. A lot of you folks don't know anything about me. Just tell you a little bit about myself. I come from your average American family. In fact, my kid brother is currently in the witness relocation program. But I'm not talking about government witness relocation. I'm talking about Jehovah's Witness relocation. They're tired of him knocking on the door all the time, which is weird because we Catholic. Any Catholic? You Catholic? Me too, but I'm a happy Catholic. I've already accepted the fact that I'm going to hell. Let me tell you what happened. We went to Catholic church, but we couldn't afford the school. I remember the time the priest come to my house.
He was talking to my mama. He said, "Miss Kaya, how come your kids don't go to Catholic school?" She said, "Oh, no, we prefer to beat them at home." And I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but my kid brother, we thought he was possessed when he was born because he had them 360s in his forehead. Okay, I'm lying. He really had a full house. But we cleaned him out. Oh, let me tell you what we did to my father, because my father sometimes would strike us, you know, hit us and stuff, and I didn't like that, so I'd always get him back. We'd be sitting around the dinner table, we have guests. He'd reach for something, I'd do this. But this is how we really got him. He believes in cryonics, you know, where you freeze the body, bring the body back, and he insisted that when he died, we freeze the body. So we got him back. When he died, we had him cremated, but we put the ashes in the refrigerator. So that worked out pretty good. Did y'all see Boondocks? Have you been seeing that new show, Boondocks? It's very funny. But they use the N-word a lot. And I heard my man John Sally in his radio show talking about the N-word. And I see we have a European in the audience. Raise your hand, my friend. You, white guy. That's what I mean, white guy. Yeah, that's what I call all white people. And let me tell you something, my friend. I'm going to tell you now why I don't use the N-word, my friend. And if I'm out of line here, you raise your hand and correct me, sir. Because you're going to be our white representative. What's your name? Chuck. That's a nice, firm white name, Chuck. So if I'm wrong, just raise your hand. I don't use the N-word. If you've heard me, you know I don't speak it when I'm talking to people. I don't use it on the stage. And I really don't use it when we got company. Now, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Europeans over the centuries have assimilated. Now, assimilated is to take on the culture and the styling of another culture by hanging out with that culture. Like, for instance, white folks will tell you that are kings of rock and roll, but Little Richard is still alive. He'll tell you who created that art form, and y'all done messed up the electric slide. So I don't like to use the word around you because I don't want you to take on the word, say it around some of my friends, and get hurt. Now, on the other hand, black folks have taken this same word that's used to make us feel bad about ourselves. It's a word created to hold our necks to the ground, but when we together, we suck all the power out of it, kick it, spin it, flip it. Whoa, that's my name. Did you see that? But if you say that word round company, they can forget one day, golly gee, that's my name. You got to knock somebody out. So I don't use that word, my friend. Now, here's the joke. This guy had amnesia. Couldn't remember a damn thing. Every place he went, he carried a little black book around in his inside coat pocket. Now, in that book, he kept all his pertinent information in alphabetical order. See, that way somebody asked him a question, he'd look it up in the book. See? See me? Anyway, the guy man is on bed. Another guy approached him. He said, "Pardon me, sir, pardon me. Is your name Mr. Smith?" Mr. John Smith. The guy whips out the book. He said, names. My name. Smith, yeah. Yeah, my name is Mr. Smith. He said, "Mr. Smith, you ever been to Chicago before?" The guy said, travel. Chattanooga, Chicago, yeah. Yeah, I've been to Chicago. He said, "Fine, why are you in Chicago? Did you happen to meet Mrs. Myron Breckenridge?" The guy says, "Acquaintance, Queens. Breckenridge, yeah, I've met Miss Breckenridge." He said, "Fine, while you was there, did you happen to have an affair with Mrs. Breckenridge?" The guy says, "Affairs. Affairs. Yeah, I had an affair with Miss Breckenridge." He said, "Well, I'm Mr. Breckenridge, and I don't like it." Got the book, said, opinions. Damn, I didn't either. Okay, now, let me say this to you. Hold up, y'all. I ain't got no lot of time. Let me say this to you. Please be careful when you're going to the fancy smancy restaurant nowadays, okay? I went to the restaurant the other day, and I got to tell you, it really shocked me what happened. They hurt this guy. I got to tell you what happened. I was in a restaurant the other night. They had Louis the 13th. Anybody hip to that? Louis the 13th is one of the finest cognacs made by man. $170 a shot. The empty bottle, $770, is hand-blown glass. This guy came in, ordered six. They lined them up. He drank them. Straight down. Watson said, "Whoa, you sure drink those fast." He said, "You drink fast too, if you had what I got." He said, "What you got?" He said, $0.50, yeah. They were still whooping his behind when I left. Let me tell you this. I have a standard joke I like to do.
it many times, but I love this joke. I'm going to share it with you. Remember, I do old jokes. I like old jokes. I don't think an old joke should die just because the person that wrote it did. He can't use it no more. Red Fox, one of the greatest comedians in my lifetime. Red Fox created 75 comedy albums. Red is dead. He can't use that joke no more. What are we supposed to do with all these great jokes? Throw them away? Heck no. I tell them to you, you tell them at work, you're a hero, and you pay no royalty. This joke, 42 years old, the man that wrote this joke died 3 weeks ago last Tuesday. Help yourself. It's the in the groove joke. This guy goes into the restaurant. Obviously, he had an attitude problem. Walk right up to the waiter, said, "Excuse me, Bubba. But I want you going back. You tell that cook I want a cheeseburger. Not too greasy. Not too dry. But right in the groove. And hey, while you're at it, throw in a large order of French fries. Not too crunchy. Not too soft. But right in the groove. And hey, while you're at it, you might as well whip up a chocolate milk shake. Not too thick. Not too thin. But right in the groove." The man went in the back, talked to the cook. Came back out 5 minutes later. He said, "Look, the cook said tell you to kiss his behind. Not to the left. Not to the right. But right in the groove." Now, look, let me tell a cute joke. Wait, I got another cute one. Let me do a quick cute one. Because I want to give you a joke you can go back and tell. And that's the world-famous potato joke. These four potatoes was out dancing. How could you tell which one was kind of loose? One of them kept saying, "Idaho, Idaho." Now, prior to running out of here, I want to thank Tom Joyner for allowing me to be on his show again. Again, how many shows Tom got? Like 9 shows, right? Got like 2 TV shows, 3 radio shows. The man is phenomenal, and he always remembers me and brings me. So I thank you. I really want to thank Rosa Parks for all she gave us as she has passed.
Oh, my Lord. Welcome back to Unmasked with author Terry E. Lyle. And I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west. And I want to give a
special
shout out to Kelly McCain. And, you know, I'm just so appreciative. You know, Michael, you just don't know how gracious I am, humbled that I am, that you decided to be on my show because you're phenomenal. You know, and I know because it's you, you probably don't understand that, but people – on the outside looking in, you know, man, you have so blessed me to be on your show. And I know our show is a 2-hour show, but I also know that you got a lot of irons in the fire and you're doing a lot of things. So I'm not going to keep you. So what I will do is I'll let you say what you want to say, give your shout-outs, and repeat how people can get a hold of you. And trust me, today I will be trying to get me a book at ComicKing123@AOL.com because I want my book autographed, you know.
I thank you. You know, a couple of things I did want to get out to you guys before I get off. Please go see the music video. It's called Ain't That Funkin' Kinda Hard on You. You're going to love that video. I encourage your listeners to write me at ComicKing123@AOL.com. Tell us what you liked about the interview and if you liked the music. The book is off the chain, though. A funny thing happened on the way to the White House. I knocked on the door, and a brother answered. It is an outstanding book. It's an easy read. You need to get it for you and your kids and your grandkids because it's going to be historic. And once he get out of office, I'm jacking the price up. I can tell you that right now. Okay. I also have a YouTube variety show. I did a variety show where I did 30 episodes. And so every Sunday on my YouTube page, so I ask you to go subscribe to my YouTube page. That's Michael Collyer, C-O-L-Y-A-R. I have a variety show called Michael's Very Best. And I have like 30 or 60 people, because there's 2 people on each show. And they are artists in every realm. I have musicians, I have vocalists, rappers, spoken word artists. I got one little girl, little white girl. We bring her out in a tiny box. It's a glass box that you can see through it. And the music plays. She unfolds herself out of this box. She stands up and does impossible things, physical things. She pulls a tennis racket over her body. And I mean, she's just awesome. And then when the music goes off, she folds herself back up in the box and closes the damn box. It is awesome. It's like,
oh, wow.
It's like Ed Sullivan meets Michael Kaya in Living Color, and it's called Michael's Very Best. I put up a new episode every week, so if you go check in on my YouTube page, you'll see some wonderful things that I'm posting. And then the last thing is I'm working on my one-man show right now. So September 23rd, it opens here in Los Angeles, but I'm going to take it across the country. And it's called Michael Kaya's Mama. It's going to be all about my mother and how her connection to me and her influence on me has allowed me to live this amazing life. We'll deal with my crack addiction, because some of you folks out there who know my story know I'm an addict, you know, and I did crack for 23 years. And as of March 1st, I had 5 years of pure sobriety, and I talk about it everywhere I go. And it's funny, too, because, you know, most addicts are anonymous, but I'm not anonymous. I tell everybody I'm an addict. I stop people on the street. They say, why are you telling me? I say, shit, I'm telling everybody. Because my sobriety, the gifts of my sobriety is everything. Because I'm sober, I'm finally doing everything I want to do in my life. I have the greatest woman in the whole wide world. She's fine as frog's hair. You ever seen frog hair? You can't see it.
Nope.
It's too damn fast. She's amazing.
Wow.
I miss her right now while I'm in this room talking to you. I miss her when I go to the kitchen. She's so awesome that if she ever leave me, I'm going with her. Okay, so I'm just saying I have a great queen. I have a great career. I have a great life. And all of those are the gifts of my sobriety. But all these things I'll cover in my one-man show. It's a 90-minute show, and it's called Michael Kaya's Mama. So that's coming. But you can get all my information from my webpage, and that's therealmichaelkaya.com. So I want to say thank you guys for allowing me to be on here, for listening to me. I want your fans out there to know I'm hireable. I do weddings, divorces, Passover, hangover. I do a party in a phone booth if you promise to call. I take green stamp, food stamp, Canadian money, EBT. I take your bus transfer if you got some time left on it, you know.
Oh, wow.
So thank you guys for having me, and God bless you real good.
Yeah, darling, like I said, it's a pleasure. I'm humbled that you're here. And if you ever want to get a copy of this interview, as soon as I hit the end button, you can pull it and place it where you want to put it at. You know, so MP3 is ready 5 minutes after the show is over. And I so appreciate you. Is there anything else you want to say, Mark?
Yeah, one last thing. I absolutely loved your poem, Michael, about your beloved late mother. My mama liked Obama, and that's all right with me.
Oh, wow.
Before we wrap it up, just tell us a few things about your mother before we see the video that you remember.
Well, my mother is so amazing, and, I mean, she transcended 6 years ago, but she is still with me every day. It's so deep because I never shed a tear for my mother when she passed, because I wasn't saddened because she's still with me. I don't feel like she's ever gone anywhere. She still informs my every decision. She was an awesome, awesome sister, 5 foot tall, didn't take no shit. You know, we were frightened of our parents when I grew up. I don't mean afraid, but we knew better.
Yeah.
We knew a motherfucker better. Now, you shit, she wish you would. But it's the opposite now. Nowadays, it's the parents that are afraid of the children. That's why the children's so crazy. Children got guns. The children got on drugs. Well, the children ain't shit because the parents ain't shit. Follow up on the
right
home, you will answer the door. I bet
that's
you
right.
Run your ass back to your car. My mother wasn't having none of that shit. My mother had 5 men. I'm the youngest and the shortest. And my mother raised us by herself, and she ain't take no shit. I mean, my mother invented the backhand lick. Mark Kevin had the backhand lick when mama hit you.
I know it well.
My mama, she invented that. She invented that shit. One day, my big brother, who was 6'2", my mama's 5 foot, said some ignorant shit under his breath, some backhanded shit. And I think mamas must have some type of mama radar, because they can hear you talking back 2-3 rooms away. My mother came running out the living room. She ran through the kitchen. She ran past him, wrapped her arm around his neck, threw both her feet in the air, and slammed his ass on the ground. You know what? I just started washing the dishes. It wasn't even my turn. I just started washing the damn dishes. You know, so my mother didn't have any of that, and she was just a phenomenal beautiful person. The most important thing that happened in my mother's life, the greatest thing, is she lived long enough to see Barack Obama become president of the United States, brother. And so I will talk about my mother, and I'll talk about how she led me and how she still guides me and how I still won't do no bad shit on purpose. I won't. If I fucked you up, I swear to God, it was a mistake, because I know my mother is watching. And I will tell women, anytime you want to see if a man is worthy of you, talk to him about your mama. If he got nice stuff to say his mama, talk to him about his mama. He got nice stuff to say about his mama, you got a chance. But if that motherfucker got negative shit to say about his mama, you better run the fuck out of there, because you're going to get hurt sooner or later. You know? So, yes, Mary Lena Smith, my mother, she's still great. And if she was alive today on this planet, she would be 86 years old or 86 years young, because she was fabulous.
Oh, God bless her heart. God bless her.
Thank you, guys. God bless y'all. And thank you, Mark, and thank you, Terry. This is an amazing time I had with you guys. I really appreciate it. I didn't know y'all was no two damn hours, so I thought this shit was an hour. When we got past an hour, I was like, what the hell is wrong with these people? Don't they have no life?
We always spring it on a brother.
That's right. You spring it on a brother. God bless you real good. Have a fantastic weekend.
You say hi to Kelly, and you continue your success, because you're a bright star, and I'm glad to see you doing your thing, baby.
Thank you. God bless you guys. Take care now. Right. And bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, Mark.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than us, a little kid. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know
and dear mama,
no one above
you. You all appreciate it. Some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. when I was sick as a little kid. To keep me happy, there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I could pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.